My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a pleasure to be with you. If it is your first time, welcome, welcome. And there's a new person card you can fill out just in the back of a chair nearby to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today as we open up your word, Lord. We pray you open up our hearts, open up our ears, and help us to understand all that you're calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard a story of a morning talk show that I think was somewhere in the States. But they did this interview on this sort of morning show with these three or four bodybuilders type, where the type where they got men just full of muscle, and they go to these shows where they stand up on stage all oiled up and, you know, wearing Speedos and pull their little, you know, do their poses, and then they get rated on their appearance and somebody wins. And so obviously these, you know, three or four guys towering, you know, pillars of muscle, and the interviewer asked them, thinking that he was going to get a response like, well, you know, I'm also, you know, a construction worker. Yes, and he like does these, you know, does these poses. So the interviewer maybe in his mind thought, oh, that maybe they didn't understand the question. He says, oh, okay, well, what's your job? He says, well, our job is this. And he started like doing these things like, no, like, I mean, don't you like help people move houses, or, you know, you're orderly in a hospital? Like, what do you do? He says, well, we do this. And he just kept pulling muscles. And obviously something like that is funny because we understand, like, well, that's kind of pointless, you know? You put all of this tremendous amount of effort into, you know, really trying to build your muscle to these really ginormous sizes, and then you don't really do anything with them. It's kind of for show. They're just on display, but they don't do anything more than that. The reason I bring it up is because I think sometimes we're guilty of something similar. As Christians, the Bible tells us, and Spirit testifies, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have the presence of God Himself who has come into our heart. And in that, we have now a new desires, new fruit of the Spirit that is being birthed out of us, where we have these new, beautiful desires and appetites for holy things. We also have new spiritual strength, an ability to do things we weren't able to do, overcome obstacles in our heart and in the world that we weren't able to do by our own strength. We're also told that we're given, each of us, uniquely a gift of the Holy Spirit, some ability, some type of tool that God has put in our hand that we can use to be useful in this world, for His kingdom, for His glory. And the question is, what are they for? What are we supposed to do with all of this that we have been given? It's obvious that it's not just for show. It's not just so that we can look good. God desires that we glorify Him through what we have been given, that we radiate with His love and His holiness, that we are a testimony to Him and the transforming power of His salvation in the world. But how are we to do that? How are we to glorify God in this world? We do so primarily by serving each other, by the way in which we serve one another. Now, there is obviously an aspect of purity and bravery that come into our life that enable us to go and do things we weren't able to do before, and to live a different kind of life. But a huge component of what God has given us is so that we are able to serve each other. And that is His heart's desire. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, or verse 4 to 7 says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There's two things we need to grab out of that last verse. Firstly, now to each one, that means everyone, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given, or is given, for what? For the common good. Everyone has been given a manifestation, a gift of the Holy Spirit for the common good. It's for us to share together. And what this passage strongly means is that each member, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Each member of God's family is a minister. Each member is a minister. Sometimes we falsely make this dichotomy in the church where there are those that serve and those that do not. There are those who are ministers, and then there are everybody else. That is not a distinction that the Bible speaks about. There are different roles that are played within the church, but everyone has a role. Everyone is called to serve and to minister to each other. And it is that core belief that forms the foundation of the core value which we are speaking of today, that of service. This is one of the core values that we have at the church. Now, what do we mean when we speak about a core value? A core value is essentially the driving passion that shapes the unique impact that we as a church seek to have. It shapes how we do church at every level. Now, we have a few of these. One of them is service. We believe that every member is a minister. And the statement underneath the core value of service, if you read through our sort of statement of beliefs, is this: service is our highest expression of gratitude to God and the strongest influence we can have on other people. Service is the highest expression of gratitude to God and the strongest influence we can have on other people. What we desire to be is a church that you don't simply come to receive gospel-centered ministry. We desire to become a church that you come to give gospel-centered ministry as well. We don't want to become a church that is consumeristic. And unless we hold to the doctrine that every member is a minister, we have a danger of falling into that trap and creating a church in which just a few people are doing all the work and all the rest are what we would call like pew warmers or seat warmers, just sitting down, keep getting the seat warm, and then you're out the door again. We certainly don't want to become a church like that. We don't want to become that because it would fall far short of what we are called to manifest together as a kingdom, as a church, a community of God. If we become something like that, we become flaccid, we become lifeless, and we are not living up to the calling that God has for us as a community. And there is a strong danger that that will happen, because out in the world around us, there is an undermining of community and the value of community. And we're seeing a rise of false thinking in the world in respect to the value of community. And that has infiltrated the church in quite a strong way already. I was listening to a Timothy Keller sermon in which he quoted a study that was conducted. And of those that were questioned in this study, 80% of the Christians surveyed believed that you could be a good Christian without ever going to church. 80% believed you could be a good Christian without ever going to church. Now, behind a number like that, I'm sure there are abundance of reasons for why they think that, and abundance of nuances behind each position that is held. But it's still a scary thought, because it goes against what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that it is absolutely fundamental that Christians come together to form a renewed community. You know, we have this calling in the Bible again and again to serve one another because, as it says in Romans 12:5, we belong to one another. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That means that I belong to you, and that you belong to me and to us. We belong to each other. What God is doing in this world is not simply saving individuals out of sin and darkness, and that's the end of the story. God is creating a renewed community of people. That is his goal. That is his intention. And our purpose needs to reflect God's goal and intention in this world. It is an odd thing to have a Christian standing alone in regards to the Bible. The Bible sees Christians in community. It envisions Christians in community. A lot of the commandments given to us as believers are only possible to work out in community together and to serve one another within that community. God is building up that community. That is his role. And so my role as a leader in this church is to help all of us come together and for you to utilize the gifts and the power and the opportunity that God has given you for mutual edification, that we come together and grow together. We want to help you to do that, not because it's a cool thing to have a whole bunch of different ministries, not because it's like a flashy, you know, hip idea that we have, oh, this kind of ministry and that kind of ministry and all these different kinds of ministries. We want this to happen because by moving people into ministry, we see it as a crucial component of how a person grows and matures in Christ. All of us as Christians have the calling upon our life to become like Christ. And it is not possible to do that unless we submit to serving one another. Therefore, as leaders, we want to equip and mobilize every member of the church to service. We want to help you discover the gifts that God has given you, to discern the call that God has put on your life to serve each other, to develop the skills that he has given you, to sharpen the abilities, to use them as tools to grow up what God is doing here in Montreal, and to disciple teams and to disciple individuals and leaders to be able to continue to take on more and more leadership roles. This is why we wanted you to take the survey today. We want to know where we're at as a church. It's important going forward that we know who is, how much of the current population, congregation of People's Church is in service, is currently officially a member of People's Church. We want to know where we're at so we know what to do next. So please, I encourage you to fill out that survey. It is obviously completely anonymous, so there's no way that we're going to be able to track you down depending on your answer. It's just for survey purposes. And give it to an usher on your way out. That would help us greatly as well. We want to have a snapshot so that we can go back and strategize of how best to move forward. Because like we said, this is a core value of ours. And to go back to that core value, we see there are two aspects of it that I want to break down to you. The first thing is service is our highest expression of gratitude to God. So what do we mean by that? When we start at gratitude, we see that, biblically speaking, there is an undeniable link between the relationship you have with God and the relationship you have with others. That there is no way that they don't impact each other. If you want to see the proof, just read the book of 1 John. You will see how plain it is. If you love God, you will love other people. You will love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is as plain as day when you read it. We see also in Philippians chapter 2 that same idea and relationship being spoken of, but we see clearly in Philippians chapter 2 that the link between loving God and loving others is one of gratitude. When we love God, we also love others because we are grateful to God, and therefore we love others. Philippians chapter 2 says this, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." This link is, you have received this encouragement of being united with Christ. You've received comfort and tenderness of his love, communal sharing in his Spirit. Because you have received all this, be united. Serve one another. Because all of this has come from God, give it. Give it out to others as well. If you have experienced this blessing, then bless others. Be united and be in humble service to each other. We do this because we desire to please God, not because we desire to have others admire us or to have leadership or power over other people. Our goal should be to please God and to bring glory to his name and to bring joy to him. That is our goal. But the way that we do that is by serving others the way that Christ has already served us. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we ought to strive to be like him. We exalt him as teacher. We exalt him as Lord. And if that is true, then we should seek to emulate him in our life and follow him as we go forward. Christ has set us the example of serving each other and being a servant of all. And he set us that example so that we could follow him. We have been served by him, so now we can serve others. John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, where Jesus Christ has just washed the feet of his disciples, says this: "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." He has done it for us, and now we do it for each other. Jesus is saying, all of the love and the devotion that you owe to me, give it to each other. That is how you show love. We serve because we have been served. And the bottom line is simple. You cannot learn to be like Jesus or to truly follow Jesus until you learn how to serve. And that may seem weighty and difficult, and maybe you're looking and thinking, oh my goodness, I can't. That's such a weight to hold on. But just a note, and we don't have time to fully unpack this, but the way that the scripture speaks about service to God is not a weight that we carry, but actually something that frees us. Because in becoming a Christian, by receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving this new life, this new birthing of gifts and appetite that we have for holy things, by receiving all that we have from God, we're actually now free. Because we are free to be what we could never be before. We are free to become who God made us to be. Before, you are held back by sin, you are held back by the own insecurities you hold in your heart. But now, because Christ has set us free, we are able to embrace who we were meant to be. A part of who we were meant to be is servants, serving God and serving each other. So in serving each other, we do not find it burdensome. We actually find it liberating. We find contentment and joy in doing this. There is satisfaction when we are who we were made to be. The second aspect of the core value that we have is to say it is the strongest influence that we can have on other people. Our culture is becoming more adverse to the idea of needing each other. We look around us, we see how it is such a value of the culture around us to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to be secure in oneself. That the idea of needing someone, reaching out to another person, is very, very looked down upon often in our society. We don't like the idea that we need each other. But we need to get over that, because the Bible tells us that we do. The Bible tells us that we do need each other. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of people who need one another in order to be blessed. The first part we see is that it is impossible for you to fulfill the mandate that God has given you unless you serve others. So you need people to serve. You need opportunities to serve others. Otherwise, you cannot be fulfilling the mandate that God has given you. And I want to pause for a moment and just say, if there's anyone in the room today who's a parent of children, young children, or if you're in a stage of life in which you're absolutely full of chaos, understand what I mean by this. When you're called to serve other people, your family is one of some of those people. If you're a young mother or father, I'm not saying you have to dedicate even more time to coming to church. I am saying you have a responsibility to serve your family as Christ would have you serve them. And that is your act of service in this stage of life, or in another stage of life if you're in the midst of chaos at the moment. For most of us, we are called to serve the greater body of believers in one way or another. The kingdom of God destroys individualism. On one hand, because you need my gifts in order to be blessed. To live a blessed life, you need my gifts, and I need your gifts in order to be blessed as well. We know in the world around us that the weak need the strong. If you are suffering in some way, you need someone who is doing well to come and help you. But now in the kingdom of God, it reverses, because those who are well put together, spiritually speaking, in one way or another, and have that gifting, need someone to bless in order to fulfill the mandate of God. So the strong need the weak in that sense as well. You have been given a gift, not that you are impacted by your own spiritual gift, so that we are impacted by it. If you have been given the gift of generosity, it is not so that you can be generous to yourself. Or if the gift of healing is not so that you can heal yourself or prophesy to yourself. No, it's to give to us, and we give back to you, that we all together are blessed because of each other's gifts. The second way that the kingdom of God destroys a lie that we see out in the world today is the lie that you have nothing to offer. That is completely untrue. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and have received the Holy Spirit, you have a gift of the Holy Spirit. You have a calling upon your life to serve. You have something to offer. So we need to do away with the false humility that says, well, I just have nothing to do, nothing to give. I'm not good at anything. You absolutely are good at something. God has enabled you. God has called you. And you have a place in this community to serve. We start taking this truth seriously. We start to own and have our attitude shaped by the idea that every member is a minister. We start to do church differently. We start to see our gatherings differently. What is the main focus of the church gathering together as one whole body? Why is it that we do this? Depending on the church you ask, you'll have a very different answer. The Catholics, if you ask them why they come together, they'll say for the ministry of the sacraments. We come together to administer the sacraments. If you ask most Protestant churches, they'll say we come together for the reading of the Word, to learn from the Word of God together. And those are valid answers. And as a Protestant, I like the Protestant answer too. Yet, I think there's more that we can learn. We can learn this from the early church, and it's something that actually our Pentecostal brothers and sisters seem to cotton onto, that we haven't quite got the idea of it yet. If you ask a Pentecostal person, why do we meet together as one whole group of people? They probably will answer, because of fellowship. We come together for koinonia, for spirit-led fellowship, for mutual edification, that we all together can impress upon each other encouragement by the gifts that we offer to each other. And in fact, this is what we see in the New Testament. There was no word for church in the New Testament. The word used was koinonia, which meant fellowship. It was a gathering of people, joint participation, a community that was built upon sharing this common foundation in Christ with one another. But they all came together to share fellowship, to come together for mutual edification. Leslie Newbingen says that They say that a real congregational life, wherein each member has the opportunity to contribute to the life of the whole body through gifts which the Holy Spirit endows him, is as much a part of the essence of church as are the ministry and the sacraments. An opportunity to come together and to be impacted by each other's gifts is an absolutely essential part of the essence of church. So what happens when we take this seriously, when we come together and we hold fast to the idea that every member is a minister? I believe that when we do that, we become greater than the sum of our parts, that we become something far greater than what one individual Christian could accomplish by themselves. We become a signpost of God's glory. We become a redeemed community which reflects out into the world who God is. There's an amazing passage in Deuteronomy chapter 14 that deals with tithing. It's one of the first times that tithing is really fully laid out in the Bible. And when we see what the point of tithing was that once a year, the whole community of Israel would come together and they'd bring 10% of all that they had managed to accumulate throughout that year. They would come together for three reasons. Number one, to use what they bring to have a huge celebration, celebrating as a community the goodness of God. Once that celebration was over, whatever was left, which would be a huge amount, was stored up so that the Levites and the priests throughout the year could continue to minister at the temple in order to provide worthy, reverent worship of God. And lastly, whatever was still there would also be used to ensure that the needy, the widows, the foreigners in the land would be able to be fed and be provided for as well. So we see the three reasons. For number one, the joy of his people, for the glory of his name, and for the blessing of all people. That was why tithing was required in the Old Testament. And I think there are strong parallels to the intention of church today. Why is it that we come together as a community of believers? For the joy of his people, for the glory of his name, and for the blessing of all peoples. This is why we exist today as well. That is our mandate. And when we take that seriously, we become a signpost for his kingdom so that the community around us can look at us and can see what it looks like to be a renewed people of God, to see the blessing and the holiness of God, to see the love that we have for him and for each other, and to be attracted to that as well. In order to do that, it takes a tremendous amount of people doing a tremendous amount of different things as well. We have a huge amount of ministries that need to be filled if we are to flourish together as a community. We have need for leadership, prayer, finance, teaching, cooking, administration, worship, care ministries, custodial, communication. The list goes on and on. We have a tremendous need for different ministries. This Thursday, I'm going to be out with a couple of the other young adults over at McGill because they're having a week-long of huge parties at McGill. And we go there under the banner of an organization called Red Frogs. And we go there in order to help those who are heavily intoxicated to stay safe. We go there to give them bottles of water, give them some food to eat, make sure that they're staying safe generally, that they get home safe, that they need, if they need to see a paramedic, that we get them to see a paramedic. We do this to be a blessing to our community. You want to come? Come, join me. We'll go together. It'll be fun. Practically every single ministry that we run here at the church could use more volunteers. Practically every one of them. And we have a lot of them as well. Just for Sunday to happen, I counted 10 different ministries that we have. Ushering, worship teams, Sunday school volunteers, nursery volunteers, security team, media personnel, offering counters, custodial volunteers, coffee and refreshment providers, and Bible study teachers. There's 10, and there's probably more, just on Sunday. And we have a lot of other things that happen throughout the week. I am convinced there is a way that you can be used here at People's Church to serve. And if not at People's Church, then at the wider Christian community here in Montreal. Every single job that there is, every service that there is to be provided here at the church provides a web that keeps this community together, keeps us flourishing, keeps us growing together in Christ. We do this so that number one, the people might have joy, that God's people might have joy. Number two, his name may be glorified. And number three, that the peoples around us may be blessed. Those are why we do that. And as we come together as a community and edify and strengthen each other, we, by serving and by being served, are going to grow and mature as members of Christ's body. Just after that foot washing passage I read earlier, Jesus Christ ends that whole part by these words, John 13:17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I encourage you, if you're looking for a place to get on board here at People's Church, we are only going upwards and being strengthened at the moment as we look forward to what God has for us in the future. You can sign up in the foyer. There's a way you can write down your name if you're interested in service. But I want you to all stand with me now and close your eyes as we dream something together. Let's close our eyes and imagine what it would look like to have a community of people in which every single member was mobilized, was equipped, and was serving the others, where every member was a minister. What wonderful things we could accomplish. What great growth we could experience. What God-glorifying, beautiful signpost of his kingdom we would be. I cannot imagine a more God-glorifying image than an entire church fully mobilized to serve God and serve each other. And we have the promise of Scripture that as we do this, if we do this, we will be blessed. So God, we pray that you bless us, Lord. We pray that you lead us more and more into ways that we can serve one another as we seek to love you and to express our gratitude towards you. Help us to take seriously the time that you've given us on this earth and the tools that you've put in our heart and in our hands to be able to serve one another and to build your kingdom. We pray, Lord, you would strengthen us all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.